This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the weather changing, October is a critical time to check your home's windows. If yours are cracked or leaking, won't stay open, it's time to call the pros at Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you purchase, you'll get two windows free with no limit. You'll save a bunch. Plus, no money down, no payments, and no interest for 24 months. By the time you pay for these windows, the year will be 2026, and you'll be paying half price. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty. They can be installed in a day or less. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder thousands of homeowners have trusted Window Nation for their homes, and you can too. So if your old finicky windows and high energy costs from this winter are cutting deep into your finances, don't miss out. An unlimited buy two, get two free, no money down, no interest, no payments. For 2 years, you can't afford to wait. It's easy. Call them at 866-90-NATION or head to windownation.com. Mention my name. You'll get a free, no obligation estimate. Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is Mike Sando. Mike's been covering the NFL for years. He does it currently for The Athletic. You can follow him on X on Twitter at SandoNFL. You've written a couple of really good stories just in the last couple of days that I want to get to, but let's start with the team here. Where, you know, assuming Jaden will be healthy sooner rather than later, whether it's this week or next, where do you have Washington right now in the NFC overall?
Probably as a, you know, a playoff team that, that's an interesting guess that I need to look at the whole NFC, but I mean, who are you going to put? San Francisco's on the ropes. I mean, you got to have questions about them. I think the teams I would put over them in the NFC would be Detroit, Minnesota, probably Green Bay. So you're really, you know, maybe the fourth or fifth best team in the NFC, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, Detroit and Green Bay. We did this yesterday. Detroit and Green Bay, yeah, to me, look like right now, you know, based on the 49ers' health situation, the two best teams in the NFC. I mean, it's, yeah, we got 10 weeks left. Things change, but
season,
as it stands now.
Yeah, the stuff's going to reveal itself over the course of the season. You don't just come off everything right away. But, I think San Francisco is still a good team, but they're just reaching a little bit of a breaking point with injuries. So if McCaffrey comes back for them, I think they can stabilize a little bit. But if he's not going to play, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be a little bit up and down, which I think we've seen. And maybe trending a little bit down right now. They just played Kansas City. But, you know, after this week, what if Chicago beats Washington by 10 points, right? Then they're 5-2, and I'm going to be on a radio show in Chicago saying, where do you put Chicago in the NFC? And I'll say, well, they just beat Washington, right? So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I think they're definitely better than what was expected. They may be better than even they expected, right? You don't know how it's all going to come together. But I think you have a team that's playing with belief and playing with energy, and you can see that in all three phases of the game. And I think even though it was against Carolina, I think it was really encouraging that it looked really good when Marcus Mariota came in. I thought that was, you know, he had his – I just – coming onto this thing, this show, I was looking – he had the second – the second best statistical day of his career in that game. If you go, I think it was EPA per pass play, when he at least threw more than one pass in the game. So that was very encouraging to me, for them. It shows that, you know, maybe they have a really good system too, which we know, but we're giving Jaden Daniels a lot of credit deservedly, but that was nice, I think, to come in and have it almost be just as good.
I had a bunch of numbers for him. I didn't have that one, but he was, Mike, excellent on Sunday, albeit against a very bad defensive football team. But you're right. I mean, in the moment, it felt like one of Marcus Mariota's best games. Let's stick in the NFC East. You wrote, or the headline is, Jerry Jones is no Al Davis, and that's a good thing. Okay, he isn't that, but where are the Cowboys as an organization right now, both sort of immediate future and then moving forward beyond that?
Well, I think they're defined by the fact that, there's uncertainty with their coach and they didn't re-sign Mike McCarthy. And that kind of paints everything. I feel like the coach of the Dallas Cowboys is in a pretty good situation in one spot because they've done a decent job getting talent, but he's in a difficult position ultimately because the owner is really the coach of the team, Jerry Jones. The whole locker room knows that's the guy. And now you're imperiled a little bit more by this idea that, hey, everyone else has contracts except for you. So that's where I think they are now. Probably, you know, a good chance of, you know, that they're not, they're obviously not as good on defense this year. Their defense has probably peaked when Dan Quinn was there. Dan probably got out at a good time. And they're not going to be able to meet expectations this year. My point on Jerry Jones was just, look, I could sit here and write, you know, 1,000 words a week on what his shortcomings are as an owner. What I was just struck by is this guy's 82 years old and no one talks about it. And so my comparison was, you know, when Al Davis owned the Raiders, and I compare those two because they're both GMs as owners, guys who are involved and having the final say, and they're active and they're the face of the team. Everyone knows they have the juice in the organization. Al Davis from age 73 to 82 was terrible. He was 50-some games under 500. Jerry, over that period, is 33 games over. In fact, coming into this year, they had the second-best record in the league over the last 3 years. So I think he's always measured against the fact that he can't top Jerry, what Jimmy Johnson did when he was there, and that's fair. But, you know, they've been a competitive team in the mix, just probably a little bit limited by his ownership style and having to comment on everything all the time and being such a marketer. I think it does end up kind of hurting their ceiling in the end.
Yeah, I think you just answered my next question. I mean, I was going to say no one knows dysfunctional organizations like we do here in D.C. We lived with it for a quarter century, and it destroyed, you know, two-thirds of a passionate fan base. The Cowboys fan base is far different, and it's far more national and international. But can they ever win big with him?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it to me. I think it'll be an interesting team. Jerry bought the team in 1989, a long time ago. He's obviously not going to own it and operate it forever. So whenever that time comes, he feels he's too old, or if there's passes away at some point, that will be an interesting dynamic in terms of how they change. What how will they be different? But for now, we know this. I don't know if Jerry Jones would give up the spotlight for an extra 3 wins a year. Like, you know, I think it's so important to him to be the voice and face of the team. It's what he gets out of owning the team. It's really what he enjoys about owning the team. And so,
Al Davis enjoyed. Al Davis enjoyed the competitive fight, kind of a rebel. And I think, you know, before he became older and not well, I thought he, you know, in terms of an owner general manager, was the keenest evaluator of talent, especially for a few decades before he got old.
And no doubt. Well, he was coach of the team. He was he was a great football guy. But I do also think that as he went along, and before I was covering the league, I was a Raiders season ticket holder, 95, 6, 7. So I followed them all through the 80s, you know, even a little bit before that. So I'm very familiar with their arc. And I think they were always going to be 100% dependent on Al. As when Al was in his peak and prime, they were unbelievable. But as he declined, they declined. And there was nothing that could help him. And he held on to old ways of, we're going to win with the vertical passing game, and we're going to have the fastest wide receivers who are just track guys. And that stuff ended up being dragging him down. I think Jerry Jones has done a better job of creating a structure there with his son Steven, with Will McClay, with some other people who can actually say to him, no, Jerry, let's not do this. Hey, let's be prudent here. And then I think Jerry's also enough of a businessman and about the money that leads to some restraint in some personnel moves too. People complaining about, hey, why didn't you buy this, you know, sign this guy in the off season. So there's been a little bit of a more of a measured approach where Jerry Jones's whims aren't on display as much as they were with Al Davis, who would fire a coach this year, fire a coach next year, do act impulsively, right?
Right.
So that's why I think there's been more stability for the Cowboys longer.
Talking to Mike Sando from The Athletic, you mentioned the 49ers and you wrote about the 49ers and their shrinking window. So what's going to happen here this year? I mean, will they get McCaffrey back? Will they – Ayuk's done. And what does this mean for Brock Purdy in a big deal when the season ends if they don't have a good year?
Yeah. I think they will get McCaffrey back at some point. It sounds like it could be not this game against Dallas coming up, but maybe after their bye. They have a bye after that. But I think you have to be questioning of how long he can stay on the field if it's a chronic type of an injury with your Achilles tendons, right? That's scary. So they're just a little – I think it's fair to ask, have we seen the best of this iteration of the 49ers with the George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. There's enough question marks around some of those players. By the way, Trent Williams, who's 36 and has been just an unbelievable tackle, but it, you know, he's kind of year to year. And if they don't have as good of a year this year, is Trent Williams coming back? Right, I think he's one of those guys who could walk away if it's not a good situation. Right, he's made plenty of money and he's a Hall of Famer. So, if he doesn't think he can get a ring, is he going to keep going, right? So some of these pieces could come off around Purdy. They traded a bunch of those draft picks to get Trey Lance. Hey, they got Purdy, so they're okay, but you lose some depth. They're the third oldest roster in the league right now, waited for the playing time and who's on the field. So they'll probably re-sign Purdy. It'll probably be an expensive deal, but, you know, will they be able to support him as well? Like, I would say this. If we drew a line right now where Brock Purdy's production has been, I don't think that line's going to keep going up at the rate it's been going, right? I think it'll be harder for that to happen. And he may be good and he may be fine, but not necessarily able to make up for it if it's not, you know, at least good around him.
Yeah, that's right. That seems like what will be everything's will get manifested into Purdy is a system quarterback potentially. And then I'm curious as to what you think, because you're obviously from the Bay Area. Will any of this fall on Kyle?
Two things there. I think Purdy's a little bit better than system quarterback because he can run and make some stuff happen. So I think he's a little bit better than that, but your point
Fair
stands.
Enough.
And then your point does stand overall. He's just a little better than that. And then I think with Shanahan, we have to just wonder, what's the cumulative effect of getting so close to the mountaintop, and every time you're about to plant your flag at the top, you slip and fall down and break an arm, right? That's kind of what the cumulative effect is of being so close, and you put so much into it. And after a while, even though you've been so successful, your failures you're defined by your failures almost. Isn't that it's like the goalpost move as you have more success, right? You become a Purdy becomes a good quarterback. Now we're going to measure him against Mahomes, right? Shanahan's a good coach. Now we're going to measure him against Reed.
Yeah.
And I think the weight of that organizationally is hard after a certain amount of time. So I think he's a football lifer. I think he wants to do this for a long time. I think he's good. I think he's going to be there a long time. But, if he were to be let go or something, I think he'd be hired in 1 minute.
100%. And how many franchises would pay for, you know, multiple Super Bowl trips and on the verge of two others when they lost to the Rams, at the end and lost all the quarterbacks in Philadelphia?
It's an emotional weight thing. To me, it's an emotional weight thing. Would there ever come a time, like think of Andy Reid, great coach with the Eagles, but I think they all agreed after about 10 years, it was just time to take a breath.
Run its course.
run its course. No one was saying he was a bad coach or whatever. Just everybody wanted a new kind of beginning. Yeah. So that can happen with anybody, you know, anyone. So that could happen with Kyle.
I got a minute left. Tell me what you think right now about Lamar Jackson and how much of a favorite he appears to be to win a third MVP.
Oh, no doubt. So last year he kind of won it by default. It wasn't even his best year. You know, it wasn't even close to what he did before. And we had a hard time picking an MVP last year. This year, super impressive. He's been on hot streaks before, but I think this one, what's great about this one is after the first game, I felt like that first game against Kansas City showed the limitations of what was around Lamar. Mark Andrews didn't look good, but that hasn't been the case. So you got to tip your hat to him and them. I think he's hit some real good deep ball accuracy this year. So Derrick Henry's a nice add. I think he's got to be at the top.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mike Sando, everybody, from The Athletic. Thanks to him. Thanks to Merrill Hodge, who was excellent. He was on the show earlier. That's it for the day. Doc is in with Linnell or Chris?
With the Rooster.
With the Rooster. Doc in the house. Next. Back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.